Mariner Books and Harper Audio present Lincoln's Lieutenants, The High Command of the Army of the Potomac by Stephen W. Sears, read by James Conlon. For Bruce Catton, 1899-1978, for his many kindnesses and for showing how it's done. Introduction. In his memoir, General Régis de Tropion cast a look back at his 4 years in the Army of the Potomac and remarked on that army's unique wartime role. This one particular army, he wrote, simply by being based at Washington, became the Army of the President, the Army of the Senate, the Army of the House of Representatives, the Army of the Press and of the Tribune, somewhat the army of everyone. Everybody meddled in its affairs, blamed this one, praised that one, exalted such a one, abused such a one. This meddling, pervasive and never-ending, led the Army of the Potomac's officer corps all too often to worry about the enemy in the rear as well as the enemy in front. On that account, these particular lieutenants of Mr. Lincoln's were challenged as no other generals, North or South, in the Civil War. That challenge came atop the already stark perception that in this contest, between armies of the same nation and blood, as Major Henry L. Abbott put the matter, it was command that made the difference. In spring 1861, General-in-Chief Winfield Scott collected those at-hand regular Army officers who had not joined the secessionists and put them under Irvin McDowell in defense of the Capitol. Soon enough routed at First Bull Run, McDowell's Army of Northeastern Virginia gave way to a name change and a new commander, George Brinton McClellan. McClellan played a major role picking generals for his newly christened Army of the Potomac, and many of his choices were in their turn McClellanized, a contagious disease diagnosed by critics as bad blood and paralysis. The era of McClellan, lasting until November 1862, witnessed the largest campaign of the war on the Virginia Peninsula, the bloodiest single day in the nation's history at Antietam, and in between the brief reign of General John Pope, who blundered his way to the Potomac Army's second defeat at Bull Run. It was an era when generals, from Army headquarters down through corps, division, and brigade, indulged themselves in the politics of war. Historian Bruce Catton called it the era of suspicion. The press was cosseted and leaked to. The radical Republican Congressional Committee on the Conduct of the War grilled allegedly Democratic generals for supposedly disloyal acts. Among the McClellanized, there was talk around the campfires and in headquarters tents of intrigues and betrayals and coups. To be sure, in the fighting on the peninsula and at Second Bull Run and at Antietam, many of McClellan's and Pope's subordinate generals fought capably, and some brilliantly. The defeats and doubtful outcomes were due to the generals commanding, and due as well to the best general on all these fields, Robert E. Lee. Lincoln's decision to replace McClellan with Ambrose Burnside marked the apex of the era of suspicion. Burnside was not appointed for his command skills, which he himself loudly disclaimed, but because he was thought to be apolitical and would cushion the effects of McClellan's dismissal. Burnside's subsequent dismal fall at Fredericksburg was not in the least cushioned by his officer corps, which officer corps then, in spring 1863, openly rebelled against Joe Hooker in the aftermath of the defeat at Chancellorsville. In tracing the saga of the high command of the Army of the Potomac, the darkling doldrums of McDowell, McClellan, Pope, Burnside, and Hooker gave way at last to comparatively sunny uplands when George Meade and then U.S. Grant take command. The road from Gettysburg to Appomattox would prove to be marked by brutal casualties and its share of command lapses and blunders in the officer corps, yet talk of disloyalty and conspiracies and coups to undercut the army and its generals was largely absent. Politicking would reemerge in securing Lincoln's reelection in 1864, but by this time the Potomac Army had become Mr. Lincoln's army. The politics were tolerated for a vital cause. The high command that closed the war in April 1865 was a world apart from the high command that opened the war. This had become a largely self-taught army, led by volunteers.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?